Blog Talk Radio.
So I need y'all to answer. Can y'all hear me? Can y'all hear me? My goodness. Okay, as long as y'all hear me. All right, because I guess the blog talk side doesn't really matter anymore. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to rock it like that. I don't know. This is weird. Okay. All right, y'all. The Daily Go Get a Business Show Power Monday all up in your area. February 20th. February be going fast, man. Black History Month. We still here. We still got 8 more days, but only 8 more days. That's just a week and a day. But today, we want to talk about something that, you know, that we talk about often in privacy with our peoples, with our families. And I mean our families, our immediate families, and other extended family members. Tonight, we are talking about when you put your kids in the middle of it. Putting your kids in the middle of it. We accuse people of putting the kids in it. Yo, mature adults, especially co-parenting, co-parenting situations, you are not supposed to put the kids in the middle. But we know that we put kids in the middle. Yes, we do. Adults put the kids in the middle if there are kids anywhere around. We use kids in a lot of different ways and put them in the middle of adult situations that we don't always take credit for. So tonight, we're going to take some credit for it. Oh, yes, we will. We are going to take some credit for the things that we do with our children, the things that we do for and with our children. So let's get into it. Urban Therapy with Sun 752. With this your daily. The daily go get a business show. We do this every single day. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. We break it down, baby. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. I am your host, Sun752, a.k.a. Omar with the... And if you can't say Omar with the... Well, then you just say Omar with the R. This is the Daily Go Getterism Show all up in your area. I'm feeling like a real man should, and I hope y'all feeling like real men and women should also. Tonight on the Daily Go Getterism Show, we are talking about when we put our kids in the middle of it. What do we mean when we say that we're putting our kids in the middle of it? We know when we have put our kids in the middle of it. And I can guarantee you right now, each and every one of us has put our children in the middle of an adult situation at some point in time, because there are so many ways to do this, and there are so many reasons to do this, good and bad. And whether you use them for good reasons or bad reasons, more than likely you're using them for a good reason that you feel at the time. So this is bigger than, you know, using the kids to get more money out of the kid's father, or using the kids so the mother won't leave you. We put our kids in a whole lot of different situations, adult situations, in order to get the things that we want, even if the things that we want are for the kids. Excuse me, or should I say for the kids' benefit. We gonna do it. We going to make sure that we put our children in the position to help us out and to help themselves out somewhere along the line. Somewhere these kids got to earn their keep. Anyway, so how do we do it, though? How do we do it? How do we put our kids in the middle of situations that they got no business? I said that they ain't got no business being in. How do we put our children in the middle of situations that they don't belong in. Well, we should probably first remember that we are adults, and adults are nothing but children who grew up. And as you know, and as I know, there are plenty of adults that still display plenty of childlike qualities. And I need to be careful when I use the word qualities. I need to be careful when I use the word attributes. I don't have to be careful when I use the word characteristics, because that's what it is. We all know people who should have grown out of certain things, but they still do certain things. We all know people who aren't as responsible as adults should be. And you know, it's funny. It's funny how we charge adults with being responsible when it's really kids who take on a lot of responsibilities when you think about it. And I don't think that we think about this enough. When you were a kid, when you think about it, outside of financial responsibilities, you had a lot of responsibilities that you took care of. You had to come home from, first of all, you had to go to school every day. And the only way that you could miss school is if you had your parents' permission. Think about it. As an adult, that's not the way it goes. If you don't want to go to work, you don't go to work. And you don't have to consult anybody about not going to work. If you don't go to work, then, you know, you either just take a sick day off, or if you've done that too many times, you'll probably have to, you know, get a write-up or a suspension or something, or whatever comes after that. But you don't have to ask anybody whether you can take a day off. As a child, you did. So you went to school every day. So that was a responsibility that you were used to. Not only that, but then if you were good in school, you came home and you did your homework. Nobody had to remind you to do your homework. After a while, maybe in the beginning, you had to be told that you have to do your homework every day, but you caught on fast to that. Caught on very quickly to that, and you started doing your homework. All right. So you did your homework, and you actually went to school, listened, read, wrote, and did whatever you needed to do in order to get good grades. And that was a responsibility. Maybe you participated in extracurricular activities, you know, band, theater, or should I say drama or whatever, whatever clubs that you were good in, science, math, reading, whatever that was. Maybe you were a safety or a hall monitor. All of those things were responsibilities. And believe me, you reveled in those responsibilities and you carried them with pride. You wanted to make sure that you kept your spot. So you were responsible as a kid. But it's funny how adults are the ones that are supposed to be so responsible because of the money aspect. Well, what's more impressive to y'all? What you can do with money or when money is involved, or what you can do when there is no money involved? Because when you do something when there is no money involved, then that shows true dedication. Now, if I'm lying or if I'm saying something foreign to y'all, please let me know. But I think that when you do something that doesn't involve money, or doesn't have the lure of money or the attraction of money, it sounds to me, I say it sounds to me like that's where true responsibility lies. Okay. So, you may have gone after that to get an after-school job. So now you're starting to take on financial responsibilities and the adult responsibility of going to work. Maybe at a young age, you understood that you needed to come to work every day, not just so you could get paid, but so you wouldn't get fired. And maybe you understood the contribution that you made to your job. So let's say if you worked at an after-school job of fast food, you knew that the people who worked at your job, they counted on you. You had to flip the burgers or drop the fries or work at the register, or you had aisle service. And aisle service was when you mopped and swept and mopped and wiped down the seats with the seating area. These were responsibilities. You didn't get paid because you were cute, and you didn't get hired just because you were cute. Some of y'all actually did get hired because y'all were cute, but y'all didn't keep y'all job because y'all was cute, because there were other cute girls that were working there, and they was going to hate on your ass if you didn't do no work. Responsibility. All right, so let's keep it moving. Adults are supposed to be the responsible ones. Adults are supposed to be the responsible ones. Those are the ones are supposed to be the ones that hold it down for the family. But we often put our kids in the middle of things because there are certain things that we do when we have kids or in spite of the fact that we have kids that aren't really right. Like, if we're talking about putting our kids in the middle, all of you who have kids, have you ever gotten a discount or a break or been able to be put on a payment plan for the utilities in your apartment or your home because you had what? Because you had who? Because you know, when you go to LIHEAP or any other energy assistance program or any other program where you need assistance, financial assistance, what's one of the first things they ask you besides how much money you make? The second thing they're going to ask you is how many people live in your household? How many people live there? I said, how many people do you take care of? How many do you care about? And then you got to give those social security numbers to your children. Now, you might not look at that as putting your kids in the middle. Oh, yeah? Well, your kids' names are not on them bills. Uh-oh, sometimes the kids' names are on the bills. How'd that happen? Sometimes the kids' names are on the bill. Mommy, why my name on the cable bill? Mommy, why my name on the phone? My name on this check right here. How come I didn't get none? Why is my name on it? Why is my name on it? You put them kids right in the middle. Your cable bill, your cable got turned off in your name. Your phone got turned off in your name. You put your cable and your phone in your kid's name. You might have did it with the light bill too. You might have did it with the water bill too. You might have did it with the gas bill too. The only thing you couldn't do it with was the rent. Speaking of the rent. Yeah, you might have been able to keep from getting evicted or maybe have been able to escape some late fees and all of that because you had what? Because your landlord was sensitive to what? Who? What? Who? No, it ain't your titties that got you out of it this time. Mm-mm. Your big ass ain't get you out of it this time. It was them kids. And you know when it's the kids. When you take your kids to wherever you need a discount or wherever you need a favor and let them bat their little innocent eyes. Bat, 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 bat. You going to put my mommy out? Bat, bat. You going to give my mommy a ticket? Bat, bat. You going to take my mama's car because she didn't have no license, registration, and insurance? It's Christmas time. Bat, 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 bat. Put our kids in the middle where it's convenient. It happens all the time. Yeah, you're going to do it. And yes, you've done it. You've done it. On some level, we have put our kids in the middle. Sometimes it might have been for their own benefit. Sometimes it might not have been. But it was something that you could do at the time. It was a bargaining chip that you just had at your disposal at that time, so you used it. But you want to get on your sister or your cousin or your brother or somebody else because they use their kids as a bargaining chip in their relationship. Baby, don't leave me. The kids miss you. I said, baby, come back. You know, the kids asking where you at. I said, baby, please don't hit me. Where? Don't hit me in front of the kids. Yo, you know that foul if you did. Yo, baby, don't. Kids looking, don't. Kids look up, don't. It ain't always as bad as it sounds when you're putting kids in the middle. But it is what it is. And for once in your life, you need to keep it real. It is what it is. So, wait a minute. It is what it is, so go ahead, keep it real. It is what it is, so go ahead, keep it real. Putting your kids in the middle, baby. What y'all know? Well, we gonna find out. We gonna F around and find out tonight. Hold on, look at this. Chicks be 18 and boyfriend 47 talking about baby spoiling me. Duh, he thinks you his grandbaby. You got it, chill. That's nasty though. But yeah, man, you know, we put our kids in the middle of things all the time. And plenty of times we make excuses for that. And plenty of times, you know, we just have to bite the bullet for it. It is what it is. But you're going to do that. You're going to do what's necessary in order to get some of the things that you want. You're going to put your kids in the middle at some point. Like I said, sometimes it benefits the kids directly and sometimes it doesn't. But how many of y'all have wanted your kids to go to a better public school? Because the public schools in your county or in your area were not favorable to you. And maybe you didn't have enough money to send your kids to private school, or maybe some of the public schools were better in a different area, neighborhood, zip code, or school district than the one that you lived in. So you use somebody's address in order to get your mail there to claim that you were living there. So your children could go to school, I don't know, across town in another county or something like that. That's still putting your kids in the middle because that benefits you. That actually saves you money. So instead of having to spend money in tuition at a school that would set you back, that would hit your pockets harder and maybe reduce the things that you were able to do for all of your children or some of your children or one of your children, you use your children in order that somebody would allow you to use their address. Sure, it doesn't cost them anything to let you use their address, but nonetheless, it is against the rule. And in some areas, it may actually be against the law to do that. But you use your kids in order to be able to do it. I ain't mad at you for it, but let's not act like we don't put our kids in the middle, because we do. And it's not always a bad thing. Now, we're going to get into it in a minute about when it is a bad thing. But we do it. And if you start somewhere, you're going to end up somewhere. So you can't be hailing the start and then demonizing or putting down or insulting the ending or the middle. What's going on, y'all? Carol Chamberlain, me friend, me favorita. Thanks for coming on through. And Stacey Wyatt, I'm glad you came through, too. It's good to see you. You think it ain't? Yeah, it is. And T. Carrie Wright, morning, noon, and night. It's always great to have my peoples going right and directly into your sight. And Medita Mac, my first love, a big sis. Thanks for coming through. I'm glad to see you here, sis. And my man, Ansel Jones, Baltimore brother, girl, can't leave him alone. What's going on, my brother from another mother, Norris Hills, back, relax, do your thing, chill. What's up, y'all? All right. So Carol says, and you ruined the child's credit because you didn't pay the bills. Many kids have had to rewrite their credit report. No, that wasn't me. Mommy used me. Most of the time the parents didn't tell the kids that they was using their name and their social security number in order to get the lights on, in order to keep the cable on, in order to keep that telephone. I'm talking about the home phone. Because this goes all the way back to the home phone. One of the kids could have messed up the home phone. You know, remember when we had to pay for long distance? It wasn't that long ago. Don't act like you don't remember. Before the days of digital cell phones, because in the original cell phone days, you had to pay long distance plus a cell phone, plus a cost of every call. remember when Big Daddy Kane said in one of his songs, and I remember the time I called you long distance on my cell phone. Now, that's what I call reaching out and touching somebody in the $1 million zone. It was expensive as hell. It wasn't until the cell phones became digital or wireless. You know, remember when they kept trying to get everybody to call the new digital technology wireless phones instead of cell phones because it wasn't cell phone technology anymore? Nobody wasn't doing that. Wireless phones. A wireless phone, it would sound to us like a cordless phone, and a cordless phone is a home phone, and a home phone has long distance, and you can't take it but 50, maybe about 50 feet, not 50 yards, 50 feet, baby, 50 feet, baby. Shout out to PhoneMate. Remember the PhoneMate cordless phone, you know, with the answer machine on it. Hello, I'm not home. Leave your message. That sound of the tone. I said, Yo, I'm not home. Leave your message. That's the sound of the tone. Yo, I'm not home. Leave your name and number at the sound of the tone. Yo, I'm not home. Leave your name and number at the sound of the tone. All right. Oh, yeah. In the home phone days, somebody might have ran up the phone bill to $1,000 or some crazy number, dialing long distance, calling long distance, dialing 1-900 numbers, dialing 976 numbers. Y'all remember the 976 numbers? Dial a joke, dial a hoe, dial a this, dial a that. I want to speak to LL Cool J. 1-800-LL-COOL-J. LL was talking to me, and I called Nelly, and I called all of them cats at the beginning of the 2000s, at the end of the 90s. That 1-900 number so a lot of people ran up their home phones with that, and they figured since the kids are the ones who made us lose the home phone in the first place, it's only right that we should put their name on the new phone. And this time we ain't getting no three-way calling. We ain't even going to have no call waiting. So if somebody is talking on the phone, then somebody going to have to call back. You know what I am talking about. You know what I am talking about. Okay. All right. So that's what we're talking about tonight. Carol Chamberlain says, and you rule. Okay. All right. Ansel says, what drink is sponsoring the show? Colerain. Yes. That cool drink. That's very green. I had to get back. I got to get back on my joint. I was only drinking this once a day. In the past year, and my body is very unpleased with that, so I'm forcing down at least two a day, and it's actually getting me back close to what I was. We've got all the good stuff in here. I got a whole, I don't know what you call the garlic joint, you know, that look like a, it's the one that has all the cloves in it. I just took a whole joint, threw up in there, boom. Not in this one drink in the pitcher. What I got? Got collard greens in this. I got spinach in this. I got eggplant in this. I got radish in this. I got celery in this. I got tomato in this. I got a little bit of turnip in this. It ain't like before when I would try to stuff every vegetable known to man up in there. I'm like, look, just make it green. Good looking, Carol. A bulb of garlic, yeah. I didn't used to put a whole bulb in there now. I mean, before. Now I do. Throw the whole bulb up in that thing. The whole bulb. Let me ask you this, though, Carol, and anybody else who knows. Do you have to peel that whole thing? I know you got to peel off the original bulb part, but each clove, do you have to? Like, I can't just blend the rest of that mess in. It's a pain. Like, okay. Not really. If you're blending it, all right, that did it then. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. Okay. Nora says, I can't say I've done it. However, baby mamas do it all the time. Yes, they do. But baby fathers do it too. You may not have done it, but plenty of baby father has begged a woman, like, listen, you know, so you just gonna let your kids be without a father? I mean, really? You just gonna have my kids call another man dad? So you don't think you owe it to them? You don't think we owe it to them to try to work it out with each other? It ain't like it's, I could see if it was a situation where me and you was where one of us was cheating. That's not even what we have to deal with. So we're not even talking about irreconcilable differences. We're just talking about a few differences in the way that we see things or the things that we want to do. I think we could work that out. I mean, come on. I mean, we got 1-2 kids together and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, your kids, the kids that you brought into the relationship, they call me daddy. I'm the only dad that they know. They dad ain't around. So you mean to tell me that they're not going to have their biological father in their life, and then they're going to lose the dad that loves them? Really? That's what you want to do? I mean, are you serious? Come on, man. Come on, babe. Come on. Listen, the way we used to be is the way we used to be. I mean, and the kids is a big part of that. I think we owe it to them to at least try. Yeah, plenty of baby fathers have done that shit. And we definitely know of the more sinister plot, you know, trying to use the kids to get back at the parents. Using the kids to get more money, more stuff, more visits, more whatever. Or putting the kids in the middle, like to get the kids to choose which parent they like the most. Oh, well, he bought her a bike or him a bike. I'm going to buy him a new computer because it's more educational anyway. Oh, since I bought them a computer, you gonna go buy them an iPad, huh? Well, I'm gonna go buy them an iPhone. Mm-hmm. Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. Spending your way into the kids' hearts. Plenty of parents have done that. Put the kids right in the middle. Make the kids decide who they like best, who they want to be with, who they want to live with. Even in the courts, the kids have been put in the middle. Well, I want custody of my daughter. You know what a father has to do, or what he has to portray himself to be, in order to get custody of his child or his children. He's going to have to do a lot. He's going to definitely have to show and prove, and best believe, at some point, he's going to have to directly put his kids in the middle. Like they might even ask the child or the children who they want to live with. Well, the children are old enough to make that decision for themselves. All right, bring the child in here just for this part. Who would you prefer to live with, your mother or your father? Now, you know that's not going to be an easy thing for a child to decide, because they know that they're going to have to let down or feel like they have betrayed one parent over another parent. You don't give a shit. You like, well, he or she does love me more than, you know, than they love him. So I guess it's only right. Putting the kids in the middle. Hey, diddle, diddle. Cal says, or calling those hotlines and running up a high bill. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. And so Joan says, I've learned parents can put you in positions to achieve goals and end up regretting that decision. And so also says, college and job dropouts. Ooh. College and job dropouts? How you drop out of job? You can get fired. Lacey White says that shows character. Yeah, I mean, kids, like I said, kids show a lot of responsibility in their younger years. That's what actually builds the foundation of adulthood. It ain't like some kind of light comes in or flicks on when you become 18 or 21. No. When you are a child, that's when you learn to be responsible or not. That's when you learn. You learn that in school. And yes, they actually teach responsibility in school. You don't study. You don't pass tests. You flunk. You get left back. You get looked at funny by the rest of your peers. They're going on to the next grade while you're staying behind. It's embarrassing. You don't want to be embarrassed. You don't want to be embarrassed. Do your damn work. If you're having trouble with the work, then you better learn to be responsible enough to ask for some assistance. Let them know what's going on with you. Other than that, you're going to wind up becoming a high school dropout, and that ain't the move. But, yeah, you do learn responsibility in school. Certain teachers. If you think about the favorite teacher... If you think about the favorite teacher you've ever had in school, you're probably never talking about the one that didn't care about you or the one that just gave you grades without you trying. That's never anybody's favorite teacher. Your favorite teacher is the one who showed confidence in you, who believed in you, who pushed you, who presented you in front of everybody. This one knows the answer. This one knows how to do it. This one is going to go to a special thing or whatever. Those are the teacher that you think about that was your favorite teacher, if you have one, was the one that said, you know what, you have something. I like you because you make my classroom better. And trust me, she didn't like you better because you were a class clown and being disruptive or the best fighter. That is not why any of your teachers like you, and that's not why any of the teachers that you have was your favorite teacher. They were your favorite teacher because they pushed you. They were your favorite teacher because they wouldn't let you get around stuff. They wouldn't let you make excuses. They may not have beat you down or insulted you or embarrassed you, but they made sure that you got what you needed from them. And that your favorite teacher is probably the reason why you don't put down the public school system. When you think about the public school system and everybody be like, yo, the public school system ain't shit. They ain't teach me nothing. Those are the ones who didn't have teachers who were attentive to them. Or those are the ones who didn't do their work and didn't care and didn't have, you know, there was something going on in their home life that didn't allow them to enjoy their school experience. But more than likely, they had some kind of learning disability or whatever. Because kids that were smart, even though they didn't come to school a lot, or even though because they didn't study, maybe they had good memories or they were just good at test taking, you don't hear them bitching about how bad school was because it wasn't hard for them. But you do learn responsibility as a child. You do. From kindergarten through 12 is where you learn to be responsible. If you don't get it by then, it gets hard as hell. It gets hard as hell. Even if you decide to start skipping school and become a dope boy. If the schools that you went to, because I knew plenty of drug dealers that went to school and sold drugs after school. And the ones that had this, that couldn't go to school a lot of them didn't, a lot of them couldn't go to school a day on certain days because they messed up a pack. They were irresponsible and messed up the money. And when their boss came, he was asking, where is the money? And it was like, they either let a fiend beat them, somebody robbed them, or whatever it was, they didn't have the money that they were supposed to have to turn into their boss to re-up for another pack. So they had to stay their ass home that day. They had to play hooky and hustle all day in order to make sure that they had their money for when their boss came around again, because he might smoke your little young ass if you ain't had that money again. So, yeah, you learn responsibility whether you sold dope or not, whether you went to school or whether you sold drugs. You was going to learn that responsibility in school first, because if you didn't learn that responsibility, your ass was going to get off the streets real quick, either jail or the grave. Ain't a whole lot of choices. But the school was going to lay that foundation for you. No, it says 99 cents for the first minute, $8.99 thereafter. Lord. No, it also says, yo, I need to step up my blender game listening to your ingredients. Yeah, man. You know, I used to stuff so many different vegetables and all of that. You don't really have to do that. Just make sure that you get a lot of good ones up in here. And season your drink. Don't try to drink those vegetables raw like that. You're not going to, don't put yourself in a position to not like what you have to drink, because you're going to stop drinking it after a while. You know what I mean? If you got to drink your shit and you got to have this face when you're drinking it, good for me. That ain't the move. That ain't the look. You want to make your shit taste. If you need to put some, I season mine. I use liquid seasoning, and I get it to where it tastes good to me. And this does. It tastes good. You know what I mean? I don't put vegetables and nothing, no crazy shit like that in it. I meant fruit. People be trying to throw bananas and oranges in their shit. Like, everything don't have to be sweet in order to taste good. All right. G. Carrie Wright says, my ex-husband put the kids in the middle until this day. Yeah, once you realize that it works, it's hard to get away from it. It's hard to get away from it. Even if people call you on that shit, you're going to keep doing it if it keeps working. Carol says, trying to one-up one another. And so Jones says, what parents' house to go on holidays? Nora says, since she did like she did, it's a shame my kid's mom is shit out of luck if she needs help for any reason. I'm her last resort. Wow. He also says, since I fulfilled my financial obligations, you don't have much to say besides hi if we physically cross paths. Sad it gotta be like that, but sometimes it has to be like that. Queen Monica, what's going on, Queen Monica? She says, I went to Catholic school, but there was one teacher who pushed me since I was in the lower grades. She was my eighth grade teacher. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, your favorite teacher is the one that pushed. Your favorite teacher is the one that wouldn't let you smile and whine your way out of it. They said, yeah, I get it. Yeah, you're cute and all of that. And, yep, you dress nice. All the boys like you. All the girls like you. Whatever the case may be. But, you got to do this work. And you can do the work. And, you know, your favorite teacher was the one that would guilt trip you, too. Why are you doing that? Wait a minute. Why are you wait a minute. You know what the fuck I'm talking about. You know how your favorite teacher would let the rest of the class go and keep you after class. Is there something you need to tell me? You need to talk to me about something? You like, no. Oh, yeah? Well, what was that? What was that thing you were doing in class? Well, what's this I hear about you, you know, in the schoolyard, blah, blah, blah. What is wrong with you? When I heard this, I couldn't believe. I said, I know that wasn't Monica Davis doing that. There is no way my Monica Davis was, I don't know, kissing a boy in a cubbyhole or you know, fighting or whatever. There's no way my Monica was doing that. There is no way. I know y'all got to be lying. Were they lying to me? Were they lying? Here you are crying in front of your teacher. Well, well, they was talking about me, and everybody was saying that I couldn't do something. And they said that I did something with him, and I didn't do nothing. And they kept saying it, and everybody was teasing me. And, you know, she got in my face, and I just – but I – and from that day on, your teacher ain't had no problems with you no goddamn more, because she showed you. Or he showed you that they were on your side. But they wasn't going to let you slide. They wasn't going to let you weasel your way out of stuff. They wasn't going to let you be bad, you know, throw rocks and hide hands. They wasn't going to let you do that. So that teacher, to this day, was your favorite teacher. Because that was your teacher and your damn counselor. A lot of times you could talk to your teachers about things that you couldn't talk to your parents about. You know how many kids have gone to school and have had to, you know, tell their teacher in confidence about their abusive household? We had good teachers. There were teachers then and now who cared. And those are the ones you remember, because those are the ones who made you who you are today. It may not have been all of your teachers, but you only needed the one, because that one got you through. Carol Chamberlain says, I had a teacher that I loved. I saw her as an adult, and she still remembered me. Wow. You know, you'd be wondering, where happened to my teachers? Where are my teachers at, man? I remember one of my favorite science teacher, Mr. Totley. Mr. Totley, I heard Mr. Totley pass. Man, I used to love some Mr. Totley. You know what I mean? He ain't even know. But that was my guy. He was, because Mr. Totley, I met Mr. Totley in fifth grade. And I didn't have Mr. Totley again until eighth grade. And Mr. Totley, because I left the school and came back to the school after I flunked in another school and came back. And Mr. Totley was my eighth grade teacher. And I remember I had a collapsible like billy club. In eighth grade, you know, it was a lot of violence in 1984, 1985. It was going down. So I was like, all right, these cats want to play. I had my little collapsible billy club. I had it in my bag. My dumbass let one of my friends hold it. Matter of fact, he wasn't even one of my friends. He was the one, I think it was the one I wanted to hit with it. And he showed Mr. Totley, he playing with it. Mind you, he was 15 in the goddamn eighth grade. Mr. Totley was like, what's that? He was like, I don't know, it's Omar's. Mr. Totley was right. Omar? I didn't get in trouble. I didn't get suspended for it. I should have got suspended for that Billy Club. That thing was real. It flung out to three pieces, but the top piece was deadly. Boom! Boom! I told Mr. Totley, I said, listen, man, you know, these cats out here, you know, these Haines Street cats and these Brickyard, These hollow cats, you know, they, you know how it would be after school here. And he understood. But he was like, Omar, you can't bring that to school. I said, well, you know, I was hoping I wouldn't have to use it, Mr. Tolley, but, and really, I was just keeping it in my bag. I let him see it, and he just asked to hold it, and next thing you know, he showed you, and that's how it went or whatever. But Mr. Tolley made sure I didn't get suspended over that. But he was like, you have too much going on. You got too much going on. You're too smart. You see these tests and all this kind of stuff. You got an A in my class. You know what I mean? You don't need to be messing up what you're doing. You know, you could get arrested behind this, Omar. You know what I mean? Next thing you know, you in Boom or you in Glenn Mills or something like that. Do you know what Glenn Mills is? That was my whole school story, though. Always bringing something to school that I ain't had no business bringing to school. Always getting caught with shit. Because I would always let my friends, you know, see the shit, hold the shit, and they would always make sure I got in trouble. Now, thinking back on it, they were snakes. Soon as it went down, Omar, I got these from O. I got these from Omar. Oh, we got these little little erasers that fit on your pencil. It's shaped like dicks. Oh yeah, that's Omar. Oh, Omar gave me those. Brought in a whole bag of them. Anyway, seventh grade was wild. Anyway, hey, kept my mom, and my dad having to come up to school for something. All right. And so Jones says, teacher or job supervisor that seemed more potential. Where Monica Davis says, she became my coach and my seventh grade teacher. She pushed all the students and neighborhood kids who hung out in the yard. Where Monica says, she gave me responsibility to keep me occupied and at work. I was always engaged. And it sounds like that must have really worked. Because I don't know nobody that's busier than you. Nobody. Nobody even close. Nara says, my mass media teacher is the one mainly because of one of my particular antics. I hear that. He says, I do have a fruit and vegetable combination that's been working for me, though. That's what's up. Cal instigating. You want to tell us about one of your antics? Stacey White says, my mother never put my name on a bill. I did have responsibilities for some bills. That's what's up. Carol says, that should have told you, shaking my head, 15 in the eighth grade. And he had a child. The nigga had two kids. Mm-hmm. In eighth grade, 15 years old. That was picking middle school for you, boy. That's because he was from Haines Street. If he was from Brickyard or Hollow or Plasty Town, he wouldn't have done that. But them Haines Street. Them Haines Street. No, it says, I volunteered to wash the board. After filling up the water bucket in the bathroom, I was swinging it in a circular motion, and when it hit the top of the door frame as I was re-entering the room, I was looking face up when I dumped it all over me. What in the hell? No, I said everybody was hollering. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, Carol, he's 15. He had a child, and he had a baby on the way. I remember him bragging about that shit. He was like, yeah, and I got one on the way. So imagine this cat going with one of the girls that was 13. You already know what he's doing. So what you think she going to be doing? Young love, why you wanna grow old on me now? Young love, why you wanna grow old on me now? Don't say goodbye, my love. Oh, no, no, baby. Just one more try, young love. Do you remember the young love? Do you remember the love we shared? Yeah, that, you could have called it love. It was definitely sex. Okay. But, yeah. Putting your kids in the middle of it. Yeah, we put our kids in the middle of it. Speaking of school. You know, you might have used your kids, you know, to keep your kids in school. If your kids were bad, but maybe they were good in school, or they were good kids deep down inside, but they got into mischief, or they followed the crowd, or, you know, they got into stuff or whatever. You might have had to go up to the school, talk to the principal, talk to the teachers, talk to the school board, talk to somebody, talk to the superintendent. Please don't put my child out. Please don't put my child out. I got six kids, and these kids that I have really matters if I take one out of the pack. The rest of the kids follow that six kids, and they don't know how to act. So we got to keep the six kids right in the mix because he is the older one. So in the showing example to the rest, and I need this one to stay here. Can you do your best to keep this child in this class? I promise if he mess up again, we going all whoop his ass. Can you do me one favor? Can you do me one solid? I promise that this last time is going to be okay. Yeah. Putting our kids in the middle of it, baby. We put our kids in the middle of our stuff. Sometimes it benefits the child. A lot of times it doesn't. Sometimes it benefits the child. Sometimes it benefits us. You know, I've told y'all before. I mean, listen. I've dated a lot of single mothers, and some of them ain't had no problem asking Mr. Omar, could he help out? Could he do a little something? But shoot, it ain't always just the little kid. Shoot, nowadays it almost makes more sense. That you would do this when the kids are going to college and stuff like that. College tuition ain't no joke. The thing is, now you might be putting your kids in the middle of it, and this is going to be thousands, tens of thousands of dollars. The stakes is high. It ain't always right. It ain't always right when we put our kids in the middle of things, but sometimes we do it. And you never know what you might be feeling at a time or going through at a particular time, which might influence you to make that decision to go ahead and put your kids in the middle of things. Now, if you're the type of person that always uses your child as a bargaining chip, advances, that's on you. But that happens too. So let's not act like it doesn't, because it does. And on top of that, it do. It do. Let me tell y'all something before I do these birthday shout-outs. Today is February 20th. Tomorrow is February 21st. Now, February 21st is the birthday great father. Y'all know my dad passed July 11th, 2021. And y'all know how much I love them, and y'all know how much I miss them. So tomorrow, what I think I'm going to do is, you know, y'all know I always talk about when somebody that you love passes on, instead of honoring or remembering or torturing yourself with their death date, do something special with them on their birthday. So what I'm going to do tomorrow is, like, my dad used to like to gamble. That was something that we used to be able to do together. We went fishing a few times. So that's something we would also like to do together too. But I can't fish today, tomorrow. But what I am going to do is when I get off work in the morning, I'm going to head straight to the casino. And I'm thinking that because I work up in the Northeast, maybe I should go to Parks because Parks would be a lot closer than Sugar House or whatever they call it now. But if y'all up early in the morning and y'all want to get y'all gamble on at 7 o'clock in the morning, y'all going to meet me down at the Sugar House because I'm going to go down there, play on the tables, do a little blackjack, maybe shoot a few rounds of dice, and then I'm going to take my ass home. So win, lose, or draw, I got a feeling I'm going to win because I'm feeling lucky. That's what I'm going to do tomorrow with my dad because it's his birthday. He's actually being honored for his birthday at Arlington Cemetery, tomorrow. But I don't really want to go there, and I'm not. So I'm not going down there for that. Because I'm done funeraling. I can't funeral again. A year and a half later, actually more than that, almost 2 years later, I can't funeral again. I'm not doing that. Peace to all my brothers and or sisters who are going down there to Virginia tomorrow. But I'm not going down there. And come to find out that when it's a whole funeral. So they have to take a hearse with his ashes down to the cemetery because he was cremated. So they have to, they have a whole family car and, the limo that goes down. I'm like, oh, I didn't know it was like that. But yeah. Carol says at 7 a.m. I'll be at work. Well, I'll be at the table. Yeah, Dad, we're breaking these motherfuckers. Got an angel on his table, bitches. What y'all talking about? What the fuck y'all niggas talking about? Now, forgive me if tomorrow I'm tired of shit and I'm like, look, I'm going home first. Like, nah. But that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go straight there, because I ain't going to be gambling no whole long time. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to go down there, try my luck, push my luck, whatever. And, so that's going to be that. Let's do these birthday shout-outs. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on glorious. Glorious, glorious. February 20th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-E-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box, Tiffany Sampson Cherry, turning 40 years old today, and Sheena Janelle Davis turning 41 years old today, and Talisa Bell turning 50 years old today, and Jacqueline Little turning 56 years old today, and Deidre Ivory Cash turning 53 years old today, and Vassie Mahomo DeRosier turning 33 years old today, and John the Real Blaze Brown turning 52 years old today, and Mildred Thomas turning 55 years old today, and Gabriela Suarez. Happy birthday to you and Capital Wife Annie. Happy birthday to you and Jeran Thompson. Happy birthday to you and Ann Calhoun turning 54 years old today and Tasha Robinson turning 47 years old today. And last but not least, Rosemary Reed. I want to say happy birthday to all of y'all and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious, glorious, glorious February 20th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally, all of y'all go ahead and turn up, turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. I rock out. Rock on it through the damn, the damn, the rock out. Rock on it through the damn, rock out. Rock on it through the damn thing. You do this thing. Represent the queens and kings. The thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, listen. Sometimes you won't put them kids in the middle. You ain't got no business putting kids in the middle. But sometimes the kids go in the middle. Hopefully, if you put the kids in the middle, they somehow benefit from what you are doing. Hopefully, you're not doing it just because your loins are governing all of your decisions. And hopefully, you're not doing it out of a broken heart. Because if you're doing it from the heart, hopefully, you're doing it from a good heart, a healthy heart. A loving heart instead of a broken heart, a vengeful heart, a vindictive heart. And you know what y'all always be saying, but God knows my heart. But God knows my heart, but does he know your cheating heart? God knows my heart, but does he know your cheating heart? God knows my heart, but does he know your cheating heart? He knows your cheating heart. He knows your fleeting heart, your beating heart. You got to do better. Keep them kids out of it, man. Do the right thing, man. Stop playing around with them babies. I always playing around with them babies. You know you ain't got no business messing around with them babies. Peace to my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. Love y'all right back to life. We will be back for another Daily Go Get 'Em Ism show tomorrow night at 7 p.m. So make sure y'all hit that like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel. If you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, and we will, we're going to get back. So Blog Talk, we're going to get you out of here.